please and turn to Revelation chapter 21 for a moment. We'll look there first, and then we'll be considering some other passages of Scripture as well. So Revelation chapter 21. And once you get to Revelation 21, notice verse 4. It says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God and for the great hope of heaven. And I pray, Father, that this morning that you would work through the Scriptures to touch hearts. And Lord, my prayer is that if there's anybody in this room today who is not sure that they're on their way to heaven, that today they would settle this matter. And so, Father, do a wonderful work in our midst this morning through the preaching of your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As you probably know, I preach a great deal about heaven, and I do that without apology. The Bible has a great deal to say about heaven, and I have to admit to you that it is, without any doubt, my favorite subject to preach on. I love to sing about heaven, I love to read about heaven, and I love to preach about heaven, this glorious place where the people of God will spend eternity. Now, why is it that I love to sing and read and preach about heaven? It's because of something that is written in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, where it says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." And so God's word tells us to think on things that are good. And I don't know of anything that could be any better to think about than heaven and how Jesus made it possible for us to go there. I think about my loved ones who have gone on to their heavenly home. And I often look up toward heaven and wonder what they might be doing at that moment. I was reading recently an article about a new phone that people... I'm not sure it's a phone or an app for your phone, but somehow you can point it towards the sky and it will reveal where some of the constellations are located. And I thought that's pretty cool. But along these lines, sometimes I wish I had a phone that I could point toward heaven and it would reveal to me where my loved ones are in heaven. I think about a man I knew that had Down syndrome and had the mind of a small child. And he lived that way for 45 years. And I remember the day when, as best he could understand, he accepted Jesus as his Savior. He's passed away since then. But guess what? He no longer has that handicap. He no longer has that. I think about a godly woman I knew who, due to diabetes, lost both of her legs. But now she's in heaven. I imagine she's probably jumping up and down and running the streets of gold. I think about a man I knew who lived to be about 92 years old, and he would come to church to hear me preach. And even with a hearing aid, he couldn't hear a word I preached. But he sat on the front pew so he could read my lips as I preached. Today, he no longer has that problem because he's in the presence of the Lord. I think about my own mom. with her 37 heart attacks and her 200 surgeries and, you know, her lung disease and having her knees and her hips and her shoulders and her elbows and her thumbs all replaced or had surgery on them at one time or another. But today, she is alive and well and in perfect health in the presence of the Savior. See, one of the best things we can think about is this place called heaven where our loved ones and friends are waiting for us to arrive. Through the years, heaven has captured the hearts and minds of many. Heaven has inspired much of the poetry we read and enjoy. Heaven has inspired many artists to paint the pictures they've painted. Heaven has inspired many Christian hymn writers to write the beautiful hymns that we sing. Heaven has inspired many preachers to preach great sermons on heaven. We Christians talk about heaven a great deal, and no people on this earth have as much to look forward to as we do. Life is good down here, but if we could take one peek into that glorious place, we would be begging the Lord Jesus to let us go to heaven. One day, we will live in a city without a cemetery, because there will be no dying there. One day we will live in a city without tears, because God shall wipe away all tears up there. One day we will live in a city without pain, a city without sorrow, a city without sickness and without death, because the former things are passed away. One day we will live in a city without darkness. The Bible says the Lamb shall be the light thereof. We'll live in a city without a sun or moon, because Christ will shine unveiled in all his glory there. One day we will live in a city without temptation, because nothing that defiles will ever enter there. One day we'll live in a city where we will be free from sin and where righteousness will reign forever. One day we will live in a city with no jails or prisons, for there will be no ungodly there. One day we will live in a city with no doctors, for there will be no need of them there. One day we will live in a city with no crooked politicians, because King Jesus shall reign there. And one day we will live in a city where the citizens are the saints of God. Heaven is a wonderful place, and no people on this earth have as much to look forward to as we Christians. And this morning, as we consider this subject, I want us to look at three things. First of all, a startling statement. Now, if you'll turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7, I want you to look at a startling statement that Jesus makes. I spoke a little bit about this a few weeks ago, but I want to hit on it again here. Matthew chapter 7. And notice verse 21. It says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." Now, we all enjoy talking, reading, and singing about heaven. And one of the songs we like to sing is the one we sang this morning, "When We All Get to Heaven." But as much as I love that song, I wonder if we maybe need to change the title to "When Some Get to Heaven." Because the Bible does not teach that all who claim to love him really are his. As much as we talk and sing about this glorious place, the truth is not everyone is going there when they die. You know, often we hear of movie actresses or actors who have lived in sin for decades. But as soon as they die, we hear people talking about how they're singing in the heavenly choir, or now they're one of God's angels to watch over us. But the Word of God makes it clear that not everyone is going to heaven when they die. And I hate to say this, and I hope this is not true. But it might even be that someone here today in this church service might not go there. One day, God was looking down at earth, and he saw all the evil behavior that was going on. And he decided to send an angel down to earth to check it out. He called one of his angels and sent him to earth for a time. And when the angel returned, the angel told God, "Yes, it is bad on earth. 95% are misbehaving, and only 5% are not." God thought for a moment, and he said, "Maybe I'd better send down a second angel to get another opinion." So God called another angel and sent him to earth for a time. And when the second angel returned, the angel went to God and said, "Yes, the earth is in decline. 95% are misbehaving, and only 5% are being good." Well, God was not pleased. So he decided to email the 5% that were good, because he wanted to encourage them to keep up the good work. And you know what that email said? Oh, apparently you didn't get one, huh? Well, the Lord tells us in these verses of Scripture that not everyone is going to heaven. The lost sinners can talk and sing like everyone's going there, but the Lord Jesus made the startling statement that not everyone is going there. Not too long ago, a CNN poll asked people if they thought they would go to heaven once they died, and 90% of the people said they believed they would go to heaven. But God's word does not say what the polls say. If you're still open to chapter 7, I trust that you are, go back and look at verses 13 and 14. It says, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life." And look at this. "And few there be that find it." According to the Scriptures, not everyone's going to spend eternity in heaven. The Word of God says, "And narrow is the way that leads unto life, and few there be that find it." God's Word clearly teaches that more will be going to hell than going to heaven. And to me, that is sad. And that is scary. Did you know that you might be sitting next to someone this morning who might not go to heaven? You might be married to someone who might not go there. Your very best friend might not go there. Your grandparents might not go there. Your siblings might not go there. Your parents might not go there. Your children might not go there, because according to the Word of God, not everyone is going there when they die. And so the Lord makes this startling statement that not everyone is going to heaven who thinks they're going to heaven. See, I think there will be two surprises when we arrive in heaven. First, there will be people there that we didn't think would be there. There will be people there that we didn't think would be there. Like the man who arrived at the gate of heaven, and St. Peter asked what religion he was affiliated with. The man said, "Methodist." St. Peter looked down his list and said, "Go to room 24. But be very, very quiet when you pass room 8. Another man arrived at the gates of heaven, and St. Peter asked him what religion he was affiliated with. The man said, Pentecostal. Peter said, go to room 18, but be very, very quiet as you pass room 8. A third man arrived at the gates. St. Peter asked what religion he was affiliated with. The man said, Presbyterian. Peter said, go to room 11, but be very, very quiet as you pass room 8. But this man, he questioned Peter about this. He said, I can understand there being different rooms for different denominations, but why must we be quiet when we pass room 8? And Peter told him, well, the Baptists are in room 8, and they think they're the only ones up here. That's us Baptists, isn't it? You know, somebody asked me one time, what would you be if you weren't a Baptist? I said, I'd be ashamed. I'd be ashamed. And I have to confess, Baptist born, Baptist bred, and when I'm dead, I'll be a Baptist dead. But I think we're going to be surprised. I can assure you that there will be people there that we thought would not be there. And then, of course, the flip side of that is true as well. There will be people we thought would be there, but who will not be there. And the fact is, we don't know who will be in heaven and who won't be there. We can only be 100% sure about ourselves. But we know this. Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. The Lord has prepared heaven for everyone. You see, hell was originally prepared for the devil and his angels, according to Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41. It was not prepared for people. God prepared heaven for people. But not everyone is going to heaven because many are trusting in the wrong thing to save them. Today, there are many who are trusting in baptism for salvation. There are many who are trusting in their good deeds for salvation. There are many who are trusting in their church membership for salvation. And that's why the Lord made that startling statement that not everyone is going to go to heaven. And even many who claim to be saved will not be there because they were trusting something other than Jesus when Jesus himself clearly said in John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so Jesus says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. That is a startling statement. But the second thing I want you to see this morning is a simple stipulation. If you're still open to Matthew 7, go back to verse 21 and look at the second half of this verse. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now look at, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. And what is the will of the Father? Well, the Apostle Paul explains that to us in 1 Timothy 2, verses 3 through 6, where he says, but this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. And so the Bible makes it clear that it is the will of the Father that salvation comes to those who put their trust in Jesus. Salvation is faith in Jesus plus nothing, minus nothing. We are not saved by our works. We are saved by coming to the Savior. To do the will of the Father, in order to go to heaven, we have to come to the place where we confess that we know we're sinners and we cannot save ourselves, and we totally put our lives in Christ's hands and trust him and him alone for salvation. That is biblical salvation. To make it simple, you need to quit trying to save yourself with your good works and trust in Jesus. And so we see a startling statement. Not everyone's going to heaven. And we see a simple stipulation. You must do the will of the Father, and the will of the Father is for you to trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. And then third and finally, a shocking surprise. Look at verse 22 of Matthew 7. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. It's absolutely amazing what people think they must do to be saved. Now, we all know that you can't do bad things and expect to go to heaven. But many do not know that you can't do good things and expect that to get you to heaven. Because good deeds have never saved anyone. In Titus chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, it says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he hath shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Good deeds have never saved anyone. Our good works do not earn our salvation. If you ask some folks what are some of the good things they've done, it's really impressive to hear their reply. And notice the Bible tells us about some of the things that the Lord said people had done. And based on those good things, they feel that they should be allowed into heaven. They had preached the word of God. They had cast out devils. They had done many wonderful works. And they did it all in the name of Jesus. Unfortunately, they were so busy working for the Lord that they never took the time to come to know the Lord. These people appeal to their works to save them. If this verse of scripture teaches us anything at all, it teaches us that salvation cannot be produced by works. Notice that their only claim why they should enter heaven rests in what they have done. The focus is on them and not on the Lord. And the people in our text had done some pretty impressive things, but the Lord said, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. As these type of people stand before the Lord, they're going to be shocked at what they hear. They will hear something that will forever seal their destiny. He'll tell them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And notice who the Lord is speaking these harsh words to in this verse of scripture. He's talking to those who preached the word of God, cast out demons, did many wonderful works. And the Lord says to them, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. And why would the Lord say such a thing to these people? He said it to them because they had committed the most horrible sin that a person can commit. The sin they committed is absolutely unforgivable. And what is that sin? It is refusing to ask the Lord Jesus to come into their heart and forgive them of their sins. That is the sin that keeps people out of heaven. That is the sin of unbelief. Jesus spoke to us about this in John 3. We all can quote John 3:16, the most famous verse in the Bible. But Jesus goes on, that statement continues for a few verses. He says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Then it says this, He that believeth in him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. And then it says why? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You see, that's the sin that keeps people out of heaven. Unbelief, refusing to receive Christ as Savior and to receive the forgiveness that he alone offers. You know, in heaven, there will be Christians that were rapists. There will be Christians that were murderers. There will be Christians that were liars. There will be Christians that were thieves. There will be Christians that were drunkards. There will be Christians that were adulterers. But there came a point in their life when they repented of their sin and they put their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ, and they were forgiven and their life changed and they believed on Christ and were saved and were placed on the road that leads to heaven. But no one will be in heaven if they commit the sin of rejecting Christ as their Savior. I think the saddest words in the entire Bible are the words that are recorded here. I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. These were people who expected to hear the Lord welcoming them to heaven. They were sincere. They thought they were saved. They knew all the catchwords and the right things to say. But the Lord will say to them, depart from me, because they trusted in themselves and their own works rather than in Jesus, who shed his blood and died on an old rugged cross for their sins, and then rose again 3 days later so they could have forgiveness and eternal life. Now, I think it's all right for us to continue to sing the song when we all get to heaven. But let's not forget that not all those that sing it are going to heaven. And the question this morning is, what about you? Have you made the right preparation? As a lost person who cannot save yourself, you need to come to Christ for salvation. In John chapter 6, verse 37, Jesus says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And I guarantee you, on the authority of those words, that if you come to him, he will not turn you away, because he does not turn people away who come to him in faith. By calling out to Christ for forgiveness and by trusting in him for eternal life, you can get off the road that leads to hell and get on the road that leads to heaven. And so we see a startling statement, a simple stipulation, a shocking surprise, and the solution to all three is very clear. And it's summed up for us in Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God this morning, and for this opportunity to look into it. And oh Lord, how we thank you for the hope of heaven. Thank you, Lord, for sending Jesus to be our Savior so that we can be sure we're on our way. Thank you that he was willing to go to that old rugged cross and shed his blood and die for us and rise again so that we can have eternal life. And Lord, I thank you for everybody in this room who has taken that step of faith and they've called out to Christ and received him as their Savior. But Lord, I pray specifically this morning for anybody in this room that's not sure. They can't honestly look in their heart and at their life and say, I know 100% that if I were to die today, I'd go right to heaven. Lord, I'm concerned about them this morning. And I pray, Father, that they would not leave this place without settling this matter. Father, I pray that not one person would leave here without having come to the point where they said, Lord, I know I'm a sinner, but I believe you died for my sin. And I believe you rose again so I could have eternal life. Please come into my heart. Forgive me, cleanse me, give me a home in heaven. Lord, be my Savior. I now trust you and you alone for my salvation. And Lord, I know that if they'll come to you that way, you will not turn them away. And so, Lord, don't let anybody leave here today without knowing for sure that Jesus is in their heart, that their sins are forgiven, and they are on their way to heaven. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, we are not